Well, okay, I'll give you the gavel, we get all the house positions, that can, there's not much to go over. Staff, do you want to, and I understand, and we apologize to folks here, we were supposed to have copies for you, but the Senate's, you know, they got those colored printers, and evidently they don't work as good as black and white, so we're trying to get some copies for, I have one, I mean, we might want these for the audience. Do we? Senator Murphy, I'm sorry. Does Representative Gunther have one, too? So we're trying to get some for the audience, but why don't we have staff start walking us through the side-by-side, and then we'll, as we walk through it, if there's any testimony from the audience or questions from members, concerns, maybe people can come forward, because I know there's a few things in here, like on the probably unemployment insurance and the Public Facilities Authority that we have some concerns on. So with that, I don't know who's going to go. Anita, are you going to start?
Mr. Chair and members, on page R1 of the summary, the first house provision adds to the definition of public official the director of Explore Minnesota Tourism.
Senators, Senator Tomasoni, how do you want to proceed here?
We might as well move.
You want to just as we go?
We're going through, so we'll move the house position on that.
Okay. House position. Any questions on that, members? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Prevails.
Yes. The next section one on the House or Senate side is construction debris as cover material. That is Senator Metzen's bill. And that prohibits or it restricts certain cover or construction debris and residuals as cover material. And
Mr. Chair.
Senator Metzen, is this Representative Atkins?
This is Representative Atkins.
Killed one of my amendments.
Oh, no, Chief. No.
I think we're going to pass
that's
by
it,
this one.
That.
Are you moving it?
I'll move it, yeah.
Okay, we move the language in Section 3 on page 3. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair and members, the next two sections are related, and they establish a trade policy advisory group and set forth the requirement that all government procurement agreements relating to U.S. trade agreements must be approved by the governor and the legislature. And this came out of the working group from last year.
Mr. Chairman, this is the language that the working group came up with, and we just put it in verbatim. So I'll move the two sections of the Senate.
Okay. Senator Tomasoni moves, then I'm having a hard time following this. I know. I see that. All those in favor on page. All right, now we're on page. All right. Yes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Is that, Mr. Chair, was that page 4, section 5?
Page 3 through top of page 5.
Thank you. Actually, this is a different
section than that trade stuff. Oh, yeah. Well, with something in the middle of it, so. But I'm still, this one here is all.
Mr. Chair, members, that we're on R2, section 2, and R3, section 3.
Yes. Trade policy language. And
but we've adopted Section 3 already.
Yes. No, I should have moved Section 1 on page R2 for the construction debris.
We did that already.
I know that, but I mean, I said the wrong section reference there because I was trying to turn pages upside down. So that was just Section 3 now on R3, Representative Murphy. That Senator Tomasoni just moved on the trade policy.
Section 2 and Section 3.
Yes. Okay, we'll move it already and voted on it. Go ahead.
Okay.
Who's got the next?
Section, Mr. Chair, members, the next section is Section 4 on page R4, Workplace Communications. This is Senator Tomasoni's.
I know, I got workplace communications here.
Okay. 530, Senator Tomasoni's Senate file, House, or 539.
Senator Tomasoni?
Yep, I'll move that one. I'll move the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, isn't this preempted by federal law?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Tomasoni.
My understanding is that they've had certain parts are and certain parts aren't, and it depends on the particular situation. And I think the preemption is only in regards to private sector jobs and public sector jobs. It's not. So it's all over the board. This actually is an attempt to clarify communications within the work groups and within the unions, so that both the employer and the employee are as clear as to what's going on. And I think what this will do, and the intent of it, is to ensure that the employees and the employers know exactly what kind of communication is acceptable and at what times of day it's acceptable. And they also have whatever the prohibited practices are, and they will allow the employer to discipline the employee in the event that the employee is doing something they shouldn't be doing. So I think this is actually pretty good language, and they worked it out with the League of Cities, I know. And so the bottom line is that it actually clears up some problems that both employers and employees might not understand in the workplace when it comes to communications.
More clarification.
Go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Chair, I do share some of those concerns, too, that it was my understanding that it did preempt federal law, and that I'm not certain whether or not this is the right place to have that language.
Well, like I said, Senator Bonhoff, my understanding is that there is a certain preemption in certain cases, but it hasn't been clear, because in some cases they've ruled that there is a preemption, and in other cases they've ruled that it isn't the preemption. And then, and also my understanding is that it doesn't apply to public employees, the preemption at all. So this is actually trying to clarify some things so that people can understand exactly what they should be doing, when they can do it. I mean, for example, if the union and the employer get together and say, okay, if you come in 20 minutes early, you can use the computer for communication with the union, and the employee does it after they come in, there's probably justification for disciplining the employee. They're just trying to make sure that everybody understands the amount of communications that everybody will allow, and want to make sure that everybody understands when and where they can use it. And so I think it's actually pretty good language.
I think we passed this, members, last year to the floor, and I think this year it's comments. Okay, you've heard the motion.
Yeah, I moved it. I'll move the section.
Senator Thomas, I'll move the section. For them, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair and members, page R5, section 1 of the House and section 12 of the Senate are the same language related to the economic injury loans for military reservists, and that language goes over to page R6, section 2 of the House, and section 17 are the Senate provide benefits to returning veterans under the dislocated worker program. Those are the same provisions.
Okay, Senator Murphy, or Representative Murphy moves then the House language R5 through, is it R7?
Yes.
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Page R8 is the language, section 11 of the House, section 5 of the Senate, which adds the executive director, adds the Combative Sports Commission to the list of officers and staff so that the executive director has to follow the same procedures as other boards in the state.
And that language runs through
the top of
R9.
Chairman,
Senator Tomasoni moves the House language on section 11, page R8 through 9812, I think, or no, 9813 on R9. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion prevails.
Page R9, House Section 12, Senate Section 6 is the same language. It was a cleanup suggested by Deed, striking additional benefits, and that is redefined in another place.
Okay, and that runs through.
And Section 13 on page R9 in the House, Section 7 of the Senate, which goes over to page R10. Is language that was the governor's bill on replacement workers for military personnel who are called to active duty so that there is a provision of unemployment benefits for them. And that's the same in both bills.
Representative Gunther moves then from the Senate language section 6 on R9 through the effective date on R10, right, Nina?
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Yes. Mr. Chair, on page R11, section 8 on the Senate side, this is regarding unemployment benefits, regarding vacation pay.
And that is through the bottom of the page on the effective
Yes, that is through the bottom of the page on R11.
Yeah, I'll
move. Mr. Chairman?
Representative Gunther.
I have one question about this.
Go ahead.
If the federal government gives an extension, like they have the last couple of years, given quite a few extensions, the state extension goes, our money goes before the feds' money goes. And I was wondering if there's any way we can change the language and make sure we spend our money last in the federal government first.
Mr. Nelson, do you want to come forward? I don't know. We don't have a place yet.
Pull up one of those chairs.
Cap,
right,
why don't you pull up a chair in case we need people to come up for the mic. Mr. Nelson, did you hear the question by Gunther on concern that this provision here on vacation pay for, I believe this is AFL-CIO language perhaps that was requested and you had agreed on it?
I don't. The particular provision in question, the vacation pay, I don't think is what Gunther meant to refer to. I think he was talking about what's on page R.
Okay,
well,
the department takes no
issue with the change on vacation pay.
Mr. Chairman, I thought we were going through that far.
Okay, no. So Senator Tomasoni moves the language on section 8. All the way down to the effective date on R11. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Go ahead then.
Okay, Mr. Chair, the next section is on page R12, section 9. This is regarding business owners' unemployment benefits paid by business owners.
Do you have an amendment for this?
Mr. Nelson, I know you had some language. Do we have an amendment? Or do
we have language?
We do have language.
This is the part I want to amend.
Mr. Nelson, why don't you just explain what we're looking for or what we need here, because you had concerns about the way this was written. So go ahead and quickly just express your concerns, and maybe we can.
On R12, it's really the language on the Senate version, 9-1 and 9-2. The Department of Labor has indicated they take a position, they take a position that you can't contingent unemployment benefits based on whether somebody collected benefits in the past. Future benefits based on whether they did or didn't collect. this could simply be rewritten. It's the same result by basing it on the fact they've been employed rather than unemployed. So we worked with the Senate Council yesterday and came up with some language that would get to the same result, but just a different way.
What I have here, it must be your language then, Mr. Nelson, where you deleted the new underlying language on 9-1 and 9-2 in our side-by-side, left the five times the new five there, and after the year there on 9.4, you have added, this subdivision does not apply if the applicant had wages paid of $7,500 or more from the employer covered by this subdivision in each of the 16 calendar quarters prior to the effective date of the benefit account. Is that correct?
That is correct. The point here is that the person wasn't unemployed but was working full-time for 4 years. And the language which the Department of Labor takes issue is the person was unemployed. So all you do is flip it and say the person was, in fact, employed for 4 years. Then they're laid off. Then there's no restriction if they're a business owner. They could collect up to 26 weeks of benefits.
This was a provision by, I think, Representative Detmer and
Representative Detmer and Senator Vander.
Okay. Does council understand? Yeah. You've got this. Yeah. So do the senators and the reps agree with this, even though you don't see it? it's the governor's administration that's suggesting this language. I don't have a problem with it. I guess it accomplishes the same thing, right, Mr.
Yes.
Nelson? Okay, Senator Tomasoni then moves the
whatever this amendment is.
The language that I'm going to give to Anita. No. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion prevails. So that's the amendment, and then we'll adopt Section 9 as amended then. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. And that's adopted. Who is taking the language then on from Section 16 on the House side, Section 10 on the Senate side?
Mr. Chair, the language in the House 16 and Senate 10 is the same, and it applies to union members who are looking for employment only with signatory contractors, and they would be considered actively seeking employment.
Senator Metzen moves the Senate language then on Section 10, R-12 through the effective date on the top of R-13. Any questions? All those and aye. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Staff, go ahead. It looks the same.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, House 17, Senate 11 are the additional benefits that are available in counties with high unemployment rates, and they would get an applicant would get 13 additional weeks of benefits, and I think this is where the Senate or the Representative Gunther's question comes in.
Representative Gunther questions on this, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Nelson, do you feel more comfortable with the Senate language than the House here, or what was the scoop there?
It's the same.
Or is it the same, or do you need? Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman,
in response to Representative Gunther's previous
Chairman,
question.
Mr. Chairman, the language is the same in both. Representative Gunther's question was, if the Department of, if Congress enacts a federal extension, as this was written, we would pay out state benefits rather than those federal benefits. And he questioned whether we could, in effect, blink this off.
If it was a federal extension.
And then blink this on. That's questionable under federal law. I'll just throw out. This group might consider trying it. They've got almost nothing to lose by saying it blinks off, and if the federal Department of Labor, federal government takes the position, you can't do that, and you've really lost nothing. So we could try it.
So why don't we skip over this, and do you have some language for us that you can write up?
And we'll have some language for you in a few minutes.
Okay, we'll skip over that section then, Representative Gunther, which brings us to where then?
Same page, R13, House Section 18, Senate Section 12, relates to the provisions above, and it just specify that employers wouldn't be charged in their experience rating for benefits paid under that section. It would be out of the trust fund.
Should we just go over this, too, since it relates to that above?
Sure.
Okay. And then...
And page R13 to R14, House Section 19, Senate Section 13 lays out the eligibility conditions for receiving these benefits, and I think the Senate language is the preferable language on this.
Well, we'll just set that aside, too, now. We'll adopt the whole section. Doesn't the rest of it on the top of page R15 relate to that, too?
Yes, it's the notice.
Okay, so then we're on Section 15 on page 15, Senate language.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Section 15 on R15 is a provision that exempts the Department of Corrections from the restrictions on unemployment, on data gathering for pre-confinement and post-confinement for committed offenders.
I get nervous about these kind of things, and I have no idea what's going on here. And I think, does anybody?
Mr. Chair, in talking with
Mr.
O'Rourke, Senator, in talking with the Senate author last night, currently, when people are being entering the Department of Corrections, the department is limited into their looking into their past employment history. And the reason they would want to do that is as they enter the department, trying to figure out what programs or jobs within the department could tie into their past jobs. For example, if someone was a carpenter now entering the Department of Corrections, they could put them into their carpentry program. They could see that there was a tie, that would make sense. It'd be a natural progression. They are currently prevented from looking at that data until after the person leaves, and then trying to get them into post-confinement education programs. So this is something that the Department of Corrections has requested to try to better align some of their education programs with a person's work history and being able to understand and know that work history. That's the reason for this language.
So a person's going to jail and they can't ask them, what did you do before you got here? No? They got to have language to ask them?
Yeah. I think they can ask them. I don't think...
They trust they their can, answer.
I don't think they can look at the...
I was a brain surgeon, huh? So
I'll operate on the word. That's what you're worried about.
I don't think it's, I don't know. It seems rather.
Let me check on that, Mr. Chair.
We'll move on.
I think you should be able to move on.
Ah, good. We've got a bunch of pages we can get rid of with the boxing commission. Who wants to take which side?
Well, I guess I can take it over here. Mr. Chair, yes, that is correct. Do you want me to just go through each section?
No.
No.
No. Okay. Okay.
This is the governor's language in Representative Gunther's. I don't know who carried it
on. I don't think there are too many differences. Looks like there's a little difference on page. Okay, so we're at R17, R18. R19, it looks like there are just a few differences on some publishing notice of intent to adopt rules, and actually the Senate was requested to take out that language from the people at the Boxing Commission. That's the difference on, this is lines 112,
yeah.
14, okay.
Right,
moving on, meetings, page 1, R19, R20, R21. R22, R23, R24, R25, R26, and I think it ends at R26 after the appropriation, sections 46 and sections 32. I believe there are also a couple more technical changes made on the Senate side that that we were asked to do. So I think it's just slightly different, but
Was it the boxing members of the boxing board that asked you to take this out or
yes,
to change it?
I believe so. Was it Department of Labor? No.
I believe it was Representative from the Department of Labor.
Department of Labor.
Including the publishing of rules on going back to what page on page R19. Why wouldn't the commission be required to publish a notice of intent to adopt rules?
Well, I think it was, Mr. Chair, I think it was the deadline for public. They can adopt the rules, but I think they didn't want or that they had to publish a notice before September 1st, 2008. I think maybe that date was the issue. They can still adopt the rules, though.
This was a provision requested by Mr. Rakowski.
Yes.
Okay.
He was here.
He was right there.
We just keep giving it to the governor, so we'll take the Senate language then and all the way through, and so we'll remove that. And were there any other major differences that were the Senate language?
No, Mr. Chair. The rest was just striking some more words, matchmakers, taking that out. So
we'll take the Senate language then on the whole on page, starting with page R17, then all the way through the appropriation on R27.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that.
And Representative Gunther moves that. All those in favor then signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Amendment adopted. Staff on R27, then on section 47 and 26.
Mr. Chair and members, this is the start of the Public Facilities Authority language, which I believe runs through page R38 up to where section 1 and section 33 begin.
Okay, Mr. Coleman, are somewhere in the audience. You would come forward with some reservations you have on the language that I think you gave to us.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The House conferees are all co-authors on this bill. And they do admit we never got any comments from anybody until after they passed both houses and showed up in a side-by-side, and then all of a sudden we got all kinds of concerns.
So the banks are a little concerned that the governor's coming around to my socialistic ideas or what here?
Could be. But working with them and the Department of Finance, I mean, we're trying to get the same benefit, but less action and let the bankers still do stuff. So if I can explain what we tried to do and then what I would like to do.
What language are we looking at here on this?
Start on page 29. Where we look at the
state made guarantee. It used to be the county credit enhancement program, but it became the governmental unit.
PFA bonds, right?
And what that does is provide an enhancement to government issued bonds. Currently, Moody's rates this as a double A, Standard & Poor's and as a triple A, and Fitch as a double A one. So it, the counties that enter into the program get a good credit bond rating, lowers interest rates. Wanted to expand that to municipalities, and there was concern about some of the activities we included as eligible activities by the telecommunications folks. And Department of Finance started getting concerned about contingent liability because there was no cap on it, and we opened it up to almost everything that cities would sell the general obligation bond for. So working with the Department of Finance, telecommunications folks, investment bankers, financial advisors, and bond councils in the last couple of weeks, tried to scale it back and just guarantee those issues that are related to the state regulates, drinking water, wastewater, stormwater, because those are kind of state mandates on local units of government, rather than everything that cities would sell GO bonds for. So that was the amendment I proposed.
And do we have a draft of the amendment?
Okay.
So
This is the amendment Senator Frederickson said he would get stuck in the bill, and he took his word for it, and it just never came up until after it was divided out.
So Council, can you have us find out where we should be with this amendment? On what page then are we?
The first one starts on R29 on line 123.12.
General obligation bond issued right there?
Right. And we had, after governmental unit, you delete the rest of that sentence. And then insert the language on the amendment going all the way down through definition of governmental unit means county, statutory, or home rule, charter city.
So you would strike members, you understand, after unit on 123.12 on the House side on page R29, you would strike the rest of that new language, and you would insert lines 1.2 on this amendment to through lines 1.14. Is that right?
Yes.
So move, Mr. Chair.
So then we are we addressing the other...
And then the next one would be on R30.
Well, let's move that first. But I don't want to get rid of the technology in here until Mr. Schreiner gets me DSL instead of dial-up out in Pike River. But because maybe our township can bond through this and I can finally get DSL. You know, folks, when I punch on a photograph that Senator Tomasoni, I can go split a cord of firewood before it just goes like this. 10 minutes later like this, and that little Frontier phone company, I don't know who they are, in the next township, they got DSL, and US or Quest can't get me. I don't know if I should. I think our township might be able to take advantage of this.
You can't hear how many times I hear it. I never got your email.
But we haven't gotten, if we move what I just said, we haven't gotten to the point that he's concerned about then yet, right?
Right.
Mr. Okay. Chair, I worked with him, and I have DSL.
But you live in Hermantown. Well, we'll move that then.
Didn't until I worked with him.
Let's amend that language then on page R29 on 123.12 and 123.13 with the language then through 1.14 on the amendment. Everybody understands that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Mr. Coleman.
The next amendment's on page R30, line, you'll use the House side, 123.21. And at the end of that line, between the 2 and the 8, insert either. And then on the next line, delete the word the. And put in an A before counting. And then on line 123.23, before the word or, you would insert or governmental unit. And before applicable, put in the. That way we don't double dip later on in fees.
Okay. And so that takes care of that language through 1.18 on the amendment then, right?
Yes.
Does everybody here understand what he just did? Senator Bonoff then moves that language from 1.15 through 1.18, which deals with the language on the top of page R30 there. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Mr. Coleman.
Okay. And then the next amendment would be on R32, and we'd be adding a subdivision of 11 after subdivision 10, which just puts a cap on the total amount of debt authorized under this section of $500 million. And this is something we can come back to the legislature with when we reach that cap, and you guys can evaluate it, and we can talk with the rating agencies. The goal here is not to impact the state's general obligation bond rating by having contingent liability on their funds backing this type of debt. Currently, the state has $10 billion outstanding in school debt and county credit enhancement. So we're just trying to put a cap on it, put some comfort level there, and then evaluate it as time goes on. Slash, that would be the, on the amendment lines 121, 122, so there.
Lines, excuse me.
Oh,
120 and 121 would go as a new subdivision 11 after?
Right after 126.25.
Okay. So just those two lines then?
Yes.
Okay, Senator Tomasoni moves then the lines 120 and 121 and subdivision 11 be added after subdivision 10 on the House language on page R32. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails.
And
Mr.
Then,
Coleman?
On page R33, where the rest of the amendments, most of them. And that would be on line House side 127.2, the definition of project. We would delete the semicolon on that line and delete lines 21 through 26. And on the next page, delete 127 through 128, and on line 127.29, delete the 8. So it would read the definition of project would mean construction, improvement, rehabilitation of any public owned building or infrastructure. And this ties, the only time we'd be selling bonds under this program, PFA would be selling bonds, is when we're matching. Providing complete funding for the DEED grant program. So we're trying to work with those grant programs to make them more of a, eliminate the silos and put them all into a group to address things. And this would allow us to put complete funding packages together and help somebody sell them together.
So what are we getting rid of on page 33 there? After
page 33 is defined projects. In the other section early on, so we're deleting these projects here, which would be the wastewater, drinking water, stormwater, energy conservation, telecommunications, and public safety buildings. So. As far as the PFA bonding, the only thing we would bond for would be those projects that are funded with the grant. And this eliminates the concern that banks have had, telecommunications banks had. That we're overstepping our bounds and getting into their territory. So really narrows the focus.
Okay.
And what happens is cities can still sell debt and get the credit enhancement under the for water, wastewater, stormwater, for drinking water.
But they can't come to the PFA for any of those other.
Correct.
So there they would have to go to the to Quest and borrow money.
Okay.
Representative Gunther then moves the rest of the language on 123 through 125 be inserted in the proper place there. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Now we have all of the language as amended through.
So
do we go all the way through here? R38?
Right.
All the way through
132.19.
Okay. We've all heard that. Senator Tomasoni then moves all the PFA language as amended.
On the House side.
On the House language as amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. I think. Then we move on with Senate language on transit improvement area. Oh, wait, I thought the bond stuff we did with that.
These are housing financing.
Oh, that's how, okay. They're both the same. Senator Bonhoff moves the section 33 of the Senate language on page R38. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Amendment is adopted. Senate language dealing with transit improvement area accounts.
Senator Dibble, maybe.
Senator Dibble, do you want to talk about this?
Senate.
We get smoking shacks, you get this.
All right. It's a deal. Cut it right here.
I've got the amendment. We'll put that. Go ahead.
Anderson, our friends. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just very quickly, what this would do is establish some policy, allow local units of government to to start working with DEED around the parameters and conditions to establish these transit improvement districts for the purpose of creating infrastructure. If we're going to be building these transit lines, you know, the way they succeed is by kind of development that occurs around the stops that either these LRT or commuter rail lines or bus rapid transit lines have, with, you know, high density, mixed use, housing, commercial, make sure that they're built, you know, in an urban form. That's the pedestrian walkability language that's in there. We stripped out the appropriations, stripped out the bonding source. Hopefully we will rise again in a future day and get some money to actually fund this effort. So that was our goal, is to establish the policy, get the conversation going, absent the money.
And that would be through page R42 then?
Right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah? I've got there.
I understand and appreciate what Senator Dibble's trying to do. He's trying to put transit where it's needed and trying to create a way to build mixed-use housing and stuff with the transit zone. However, I find it difficult to figure out why we're having transit in this bill.
Because
this isn't transit.
Senator Dibble, go ahead, but Representative Gunther, I think what we're doing is setting up a loan program that piggybacks maybe on PFA. I don't know if DEED's going to run it. That's why, because DEED's going to do this. It might be dealing with these transit, mass transit lines that are going to come in the future.
In essence, it's just like the redevelopment program, except it's concentrated strictly in the transit area. So it kind of encourages redevelopment to be more transit-friendly type development along the course.
So in effect, what we're doing is we're accommodating future growth with transit.
And is this language then puts it in DEED? And puts it in the PFA, or no, this is a new program outside?
Yes, indeed. We'd run it. The same unit that does the contaminated site and redevelopment program would operate this program. I'm under contract to manage. So.
And so when the bonding, or when you vote on the the sales tax, that kind of stuff, you're anticipating some of that money coming into here, or how is this going to work? When the appropriation comes, how is it going to work?
It'll either come through, you know, a general fund appropriation or some bond proceeds, and you know, it'll be set in a fund that's managed by DEED. Won't come from the sales tax. And also, just to be very clear, none of this money that we ever do, if we ever succeed at getting some funding for this program, not one nickel can go to any of the transportation parts that we're talking about. Nothing can go for transit capital or operating. This is about the development and the infrastructure around the transit nodes.
So if we had a little bus stop in Pike, could we have some electronic transit? Maybe I can get DSL then?
There we go. I was going to say, Mr. Chair, backing up to that issue, I was sorry to see some of those eligible items come out, including the energy conservation stuff. So maybe we can get back to that someday.
Okay.
But Mr. Kuhlman did identify about four issues in the last couple of days, and he's been working with the League of Minnesota Cities and Minnesota Solutions to solve those. We've talked to council, and they're coming up with some language. They're pretty easy issues to address and fix, and we don't have language today, but we will.
As far as the other issues earlier?
Yeah, these four issues that Mr. Kuhlman has identified.
Yeah, we can put them in.
You can do that when we're back in the conference committee.
Right. They have to do, if folks are interested with how we talk about, you know, walkable communities, how the loan should be for actual things, not just based on nebulous plans, yeah. The rate of the loan and how we account for the administrative costs.
Well, then, Senator Bono.
Mr. Chair, I just want to speak also in support of this provision because we've seen the tremendous development that's gone along the Hiawatha line. And so now that we have identified additional transit lines to go in, this will allow us to be more strategic in how we do our growth and our planning. So I think it is very important.
As all this development takes place, I'd like my two metro senators to keep in mind that, you know, these mass transit and all this, it requires a lot of copper and nickel and things like that. And as we move towards that northern Minnesota, I would hope that you wouldn't want some third world country to destroy their environment to provide you with all of your you know.
I'm for the
there we
the
go.
Non-ferrous
That's all
mining
I want
projects
it's
in an environmentally
moves
responsible
Mr. Chair, and I too support that.
Both on
there.
Both
we're on record.
Don't
no,
lose this tape, whatever you
language.
Tony's been in my office. We've had that discussion.
Yeah, right. We've got the amendments that... How do we do? Just incorporate the amendments that Senator Thomasone.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think we'll have to meet again on Monday when we have the amendments.
Okay. Well, let's just move the language, and we with the understanding we're going to fix it up. We'll move Section 34 and then all the way through. Is it through 28.4? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Senator Thomasone moves Central Iron Range Sanitary Sewer District. All those in favor. It's a cleanup language, my understanding, where they didn't vote. Or no, that would be the subdivision. Yeah, Section 35 and 36. Senator Thomasone moves the Senate language on page R42, subsection 35 and 36. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Representative Gunter moves the bioscience subsidy language on section 60. That was Representative Clark's concern. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Representative Murphy moves the section 8 on page R43. And did we? Was there a little an amendment for this or not? Is that okay?
Oh, it's pretty this, right?
I think it's all this is
okay. Okay. I wasn't sure. I thought there was one little fix up there. Yeah. Maybe no. Okay.
Chair, I think there was a small fix on the who the Department of Tourism shall report to the chairs. I think it also they wanted to include the minority members of those committees as well.
Senator Bonhoff moves that amendment then.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Jensen. The ranking minority members.
To the chairs.
Okay, so we will have the minority.
The after.
Minority members.
Right. Line.
That's fine.
Okay. With that understanding, that staff will fix that correction then. And that, first of all, do we move that as an amendment? I suppose.
Sure.
Well, Representative Murphy moves the amendment then on including ranking minority members online, somewhere online 272.9.
You after can, chairs.
After chairs.
Sure.
And ranking minority members.
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Now, Senator Murphy, Representative Murphy moves Section 8 as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. And the Senate language then on page R43.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Section 37 on R43 initial administration is just some non-codified language from the Trade Policy Advisory Group just telling when to convene the first meeting and the like.
Move Section 37 and the Senate language, Mr. Chairman.
I think we probably should right now take out line 28.31 and 28.32 because
I'm going to move Section 37 for now.
Just and we'll leave Section 38 alone because there's some concerns in there.
There's some concerns, and maybe we should find out why. Because we were told there were just technical changes.
Well, I.
But let me move Section 37.
Okay. Senator Thomasone moves Section 37 on through the effective date on page R43. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. And I know that Representative Pawlowski had expressed some concerns about the. The referee and employment judge thing. So, Mr. Nelson, do you want to come back up? And I want to make sure that, because I get nervous anytime we deal with these technical changes in UI, but What do you need to change that from a referee to an employment law judge?
Mr. Chairman, by statute, hearing officers used to be called referees. That was changed about 5 years ago, but it was never corrected in this cross-reference. You will see it's actually on page one of the side-by-side. If you look down on clause 11, it talks about administrative law judge or compensation judge in the State Office of Administrative Hearings, or referee in the Department of Employment and Economic Development. There are no longer referees. They are by statute called unemployment law judge. So this revised instruction simply corrects or updates a different portion of the statute. It doesn't change anything. There are no longer referees. They are called unemployment law judges.
Why don't we leave this? We still have to meet next week. We don't have to have this done. And we can go over that language that you might have worked out, too, at that point. But for now, then, I guess we've just about taken care of the whole policy bill. And, Mr. Nelson, we'll meet with you on Monday sometime to go over that language you're suggesting to Representative Gunter's concern, and then on this. Do we need anything else here?
We got one more thing.
Do we need anything else, senators, reps?
I think we're okay.
If not, then we'll try to meet sometime Monday. We're supposed to get this out Monday. We got these few little concerns. Anybody in the audience got any concerns? Mr. Schreiner, you get my DSL yet? Meeting adjourned. We're staying in here for
higher ed. Thanks, Right. Well, thank you. After my initial design this morning,